Thank you, Scott, for leading us in communion and pastoral prayer. We've been blessed today, haven't we? We've been truly blessed today just to come and gather together and worship our great God and be encouraged through the truth of His Word and the way that we're living our life and lift our voices to Him and be the family of God. Every communion Sunday, my heart is always taken back just sitting within this body of Christ, listening to these ushers lift up their voices to the Lord and pray the things of God that minister to us most, and just truly blessed to be part of this family. Today we will finish up our study of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 as we look at the last two verses of this chapter, verses 11 and 12. So go ahead and open your Bibles with me there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're going to look at the last two verses 11 and 12. Take out your outline and follow as we go through that. Some 2 months ago or so, it's probably a little longer than that, Pastor Brent and I were discussing doing the exposition of God's Word together. We've talked about that often and talked about just working through the book of the Bible, that kind of thing. And so we decided that Pastor Brent would preach the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. So next week, he's up in the pulpit, looking forward to that, excited about that. We've been talking about chapter 2 a little bit, and I'm excited for how we're going to be working together on this, bringing God's truth to our hearts and minds together. As we look at verses 11 and 12 this morning of 2 Thessalonians 1, we come to a short conclusion to the Apostle Paul's teaching of chapter 1. It's really a conclusion. When you see chapter 2, it says now, that he's changing subjects, he's moving to something else. Now, we know it was a letter, there wasn't chapters and verses and all that kind of stuff, but as you would write a letter, you'd do the same kind of things. You would get to a concluding thought and then go to another thought, that kind of thing, and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So here he's kind of concluding his teaching in chapter 1. And these two verses are kind of a closing prayer. We do that a lot. We close in prayer. We close that kind of thing. But they're more than that. I want to encourage you, they're more than that. I want you to capture something today, for in this prayer is a teaching on what to pray for. This is a teaching on what to pray for. We have a lot to pray for. I mean, we have lots of things that we lift up to the Lord. Nothing's wrong with things we lift up. But if you look at the Apostle Paul here, he's going to teach us the most important focus of our prayers. If you would do a Bible study and just study the Apostle Paul's prayers, you would recognize that all of his prayers, all of them that are in the Bible that the Apostle Paul prays, even the benedictions and those things in there, all of them revolve around our reconciled relationship with God through salvation and our living out our new life in Christ in a way that honors and glorifies God in this gospel. All of his prayers are revolve around that. Two main things that he prays about all the time. You would say, and Pastor Tom, in your thing, that understanding the loving kindness of God, understanding who he is, why he came, what he did, understanding the relationship that we have with God, that would be what Paul prayed for all the time. And it's what's in the scriptures, in the Psalms, talking about knowing the Lord, knowing God. Paul prayed about that a lot, but he also prayed about our response to that relationship. Here in our text, the focus of Paul's prayer is our calling upon God to fulfill our calling as Christians. That's simple. It's that simple. It's our calling of God, upon God, prayer to God. I use the word calling, that kind of thing, to make it kind of a little more rememberable, that kind of way. But it's us praying to God to fulfill his calling in our life. What Paul petitions God for is that God would fulfill the calling of our life given to us by God. All of us need to acknowledge you've been given a calling by God, and when he called you to himself, when he reconciled you to himself, when you heard the gospel and it pierced your heart with the truth of the gospel, and you were born again, regenerated, made new, given new life, God gave you something to do when you're here. He called you to himself, called you to live a certain way here. We're all in that journey of it. We're all at the work at it. We're all in that kind of thing. But simply, you could say it this way, that God would encourage, lead, guide, empower, and equip us to live for Christ, to live for the glory of the Lord. Now, we say those words, and we say we want to, and those kind of things. But do we pray? Do we ask that? So the question, all of us need to ask this question. I want you to ask this question of yourself today. Do I pray, do I ask God to glorify Christ in the way I live and what I live for all the time? Is that part of your daily prayer? That's something you think about each day. Something you say today, Lord, I'm going to ask God. I'm going to ask God. I'm going to come that I would glorify Christ in the way I live and what I live for today. And that's why I desire to do that. I want to do that. God's called me to himself. God has given me a calling. He's given us all a calling. Do you know the calling that we all have is that we're to live for the glory of Christ every day and all day and everything that we do? It's not just for apostles or just for pastors or just for is for all of us. And this is Paul simply just talking to the church in the midst of all the things they got going on and all the difficulty that got going on. And then right at the end, he just simply prays this prayer. I encouraged you last week, or 2 weeks ago, because we had the annual meeting, but I encouraged 2 weeks ago that I've been praying this prayer since I started 2 Thessalonians for me, for myself, for you. I talked to my wife yesterday, Krista. We're going to start praying this for each other, for a marriage, and what we're going to learn today. So the question is, am I asking God to do this in my life? I want you to capture that today. You might want to write this down. You might want to put some of these things down. Answer that question. You need to believe you need to pray this way, because God's word calls us to pray this way. So your relationship with God, for this word of God to sanctify you, that you be sanctified in God's word and in the truth of God's word, you need to believe God's truth. If you don't believe it, you're not going to get sanctified. And then when you believe it, you got to act upon what you believe. And when you act upon what you believe, you recognize that I got to change, I got to repent, I got to change, I got to go a different way, because I believe this and I haven't acted upon it, or I recognize my life isn't doing it. This is simple. This is Christianity, this is sanctification, this is what it is. So let's look at our text this morning, and we'll go from there. Look at verse 11 and 12, and we'll unpack this a little bit. We got plenty of time, we'll get through this today. And we're going to be so encouraged with what the Apostle Paul prayed here and what God gave us in his word to encourage us as we would call upon God. That's what he wants to do today in his word. Paul writes, "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ." There's a lot there, but I'm going to give you it simple and keep us focused on this prayer and what God wants us to know. So Paul is calling upon God. That's what he's doing. "To this end we pray for you always." There we go. Oh, is that me? Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not plugged in right. There we go. Give you guys a second there. There we go. Anyway, back to what I was in the text, what he's talking about, that he prays, he calls upon God for you always, that God would count you worthy of your calling. You see what he's talking about here. Call upon God to fulfill your calling. That's what he's praying about. Every believer in Christ has been called by God to himself. That's a reconciled relationship with God that I explained, and given a calling to live out. All of us have. Given a new life in Christ to be lived. We know this. We know this, but do you ask God each day that you would live this life that God has given you in Jesus Christ, this new life in Christ, that you would live it, that it would glorify Christ, that it would be honoring to God? Do you ask? That's the question today. Well, occasionally I ask. Most of the time I ask that he would make my life easier or fix some things in my life or minister to me in my life or do some things, which are not wrong. I'm not putting, that is wrong. Help me with my health. Help me with these things. Those things to help me encourage my family. Whatever it might be, I'm not saying any of those are wrong, but this is what Paul, the Apostle Paul, and what and his focus of prayers is calling upon God to fulfill our calling. Ephesians 1:18 says this. The Apostle Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know the hope of your calling, that you can live this new life in Christ as the hope of your calling, and that glorifies God." Do you know you have that hope, regardless of what's going on in your life? Do you know that you have that hope, the hope of your calling? Yes, you're going to be. You're reconciled to God, you have eternity with God, your sins are forgiven. But you know the hope of your calling is that God called you to himself, that you can live for Christ in this life, make a difference, live for the purpose of God, do things that glorify Christ. You couldn't before. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about there. Let me just review this a little bit. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9, listen to what he says talking to Timothy. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of our testimony of our Lord, or of me as of his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus for eternity." So our calling has a God purpose in it. It's right there in the text. Your life in Christ has a God purpose. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:15, "Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior." So you're seeing the point that I'm making today. We know these verses. Paul said in Romans 8:28-29, we know these verses, but I want you to listen to them in the sense of what we're talking about, of calling upon God to fulfill your calling. Paul writes in Romans 8, 28, 29, we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You're called. Because, or those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Did you know that, that right there he said, I called you according to my purpose, and here's my purpose. So I'm going to work in your life and conform you to the image of Jesus Christ in this life. And you read it today, Tom, in your Sunday school class, chapter 3, verse 2 of 1 John. And when we see him, we're going to be like him because we're going to see him as he is. There's a calling in our life. Or it's 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. Here the Apostle Paul wrote, and I'm just lightly touching on this, you guys. He wrote this, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity. Do you know he didn't call you to himself, reconcile yourself, give you new life so we can live in pure lives? We battle it, we fight it, but in sanctification he called you for you to become more Christ-like, sanctified, to becoming more sanctified. Chapter 5, verse 24 says it this way, faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Are you getting the point? Are you capturing the point, what I'm trying to get you to think about today and that kind of thing? Are you calling upon God? Are you calling upon God to fulfill the calling that he has in your life? It's not a calling that you're going to go to Africa, yet that's some of the things, and we're going to do this, and you're going to do that, or you're going to become a pastor, those kind of things. It's just about the life he gave you to live on this planet while you're here, and you're his. It all carries purpose. It all has meaning. It all has value to God. Do you ask him that if you... Ask him to fulfill it in your life, because you need him to fulfill it. We can't do it without him. That's what Paul's talking about. It's a certain life to live. It's a certain life to pursue. There's so much more I could say there, but in our text, look what Paul says in our text. Move it along. To this end we pray. To this end we pray. That goes both ways. Did you know that? It goes from chapter 1, verse 3 through 10, and then it goes chapter 11 through 12, verses 11 through 12. So it's to this end and also this end is what he's saying. That's what he's talking about. To what he said previously, to this end, to what he says next, this end. To this end basically means to the end your sanctification which glorifies Christ. You could put that down. That's the end that he prays for. That your life would glorify Christ. And it's your sanctified life. It's your changing and growing and maturing and becoming more, dealing with your sin and God holding you accountable to your sin and circumstances of life coming to you for sin. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. So corruption comes in your life. You see it, I sow to my flesh, and that corruption comes in. See, that's God sanctifying you. That's God allowing the things in your life for you to deal with the things in your life, for you to be sanctified. See, that glorifies Christ, not you being perfect and holy. And nobody's Jesus in the room, so none of us can do that. So yes, we can live holy lives. Yes, we can live godly lives, the things and all those kind of things. But so much of it is just embracing God's changing work and transforming work in his life. And that's what's going on in Thessalonica. That's what he's saying. That's why he prays for this. To this end, in verses 3 through 10, let me just cover that quickly for you. If you go back to verse 3, that's what he said previously, that he says he prays to this end. Verse 3 and 4, he says, we ought to always give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it's only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and your love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proud of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. To this end we pray. What end? He prays that your faith continue to flourish. He prays that your love will continue to grow. He prays that your hope will continue to cause you to persevere and be faithful, that you endure, not fall back from living for Christ. And look at verse 10 of the first chapter. He says this, so when he comes, Jesus Christ, when he comes to be glorified in the saints on that day, well, that day is the rapture of the church. When he comes to be glorified in the saints, when he comes to this end, we pray he'll be glorified. That's what he's talking about. He prays that Christ will be glorified by you when he comes. How much is Christ going to be glorified in the saints that haven't embraced their calling? How much? That's what he's talking about. He's going to be glorified in the saints, yes, because he comes and we're his and we're saved and he reconciled us and he redeemed us and all that. But he's talking about how much is he going to be glorified when he comes in the saints that not embrace any of this. How much is he going to be glorified? That's what he's saying. That's what he's praying for. This is what he's talking to. This is God's word to our lives about our lives. This is what he's praying. How's he going to be glorified in your life when he comes? That you're saved? That you're his? Or that you embraced a life to be lived now for his for sanctification? That's what he's talking about. Look at chapter 2, verse 14 of 2 Thessalonians. Paul writes, For it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You gain the glory by living the glory, by living like Christ. You got the glory of Christ. You're going to be glorified with him at the end of it all. You're going to share in the glory of Christ, all the things that God promised because of his promise. But he wants us to share in the glory. We share in that by living the glory. What if you haven't become like Christ at all in this life when he comes? How glorified will he be in the saints? See why Paul calls upon God to fulfill our calling? For it glorifies Christ. Now, if you, in the life you live now, and will even more glorify him when he comes to rapture his church to be glorified in the saints. Simple yet profound truth, isn't it? That we can call upon God to this end, Christ-like lives. So looking back to this end, we pray, and the question becomes, are you? It's okay to ask that question, isn't it? It's okay to have conviction to say I'm not. Is it okay to say, wow, I think God would want me to do that more? Is it okay to repent and change and embrace what God wants for you? This is not some ceremonial thing you need to go do. This is not some ritual thing you need to go do. This is in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that God in his word has called you to call upon him, that he'll fulfill your calling in your life. It's you asking him. It's in your relationship with him. Now, as we look at our text from verse 11 and 12 and go forward, Paul says this to this end, we pray, verse 11. Then first, he says, God will count you worthy of your calling. You guys see it there? Verse 11, to this end, we also pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling. That's where I got all this. God will count you worthy. You know what that means when he says that? Count worthy also can be translated make worthy or considered worthy, like chapter 1, verse 5. They all work. Any of them work. And we know that we're sinners, and all sinners are worthy of death, Romans 1:32, right? So we're not worthy of our own, right? But in salvation, God makes us worthy by crediting us or imputing us the righteousness of Christ. And so now we're made worthy before God because of Christ's righteousness. He's not talking about that, is he? Because that's already happened to you. You don't pray for Christians to be counted worthy because of the righteousness of Christ before God, because they already are. God counts them worthy. He made them worthy. He credits you the righteousness of Christ, so he sees you worthy. So he's talking about the way you're living your life, okay? Because you're already worthy before God, not based on you, but based on Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a great thing, right? So God is confronting you about, are you living worthy? In a prayer, this is what he's talking about. And he's calling upon God that it would be worthy. So Paul is praying that God would count or make you worthy in the way you live. And what you live for is calling. Turn to Ephesians 4. We read that today. Let me just show you this and just kind of walk through what Paul's talking about here briefly. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4, verse 1. We'll look at verse 1 and go from there. But that's what he's talking about. That's his prayer. To this end we pray. To this end, I pray for myself that God would count me worthy of the calling that he's called in my life, that he would work in my life by the way I live, so I would fulfill what God has called me to live as a believer in Christ in this life. It's that simple. That's what he's praying, for you to walk worthy of your calling. That's what it is. Ephesians 4, look 4, verse 1. This is the same thing. This is the Apostle Paul. Let me walk this a little bit with you in this so you get the point. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Here the Apostle Paul says that. Chapter 1, verse 3, and chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians taught about the doctrine of salvation, the truth of God's calling you to himself, what happened in the calling, and that what God did in the calling, and then he begins to tell us how to live out that truth by saying this. You're implored to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. Paul implores us to do that. In our text back in 2 Thessalonians, Paul calls upon God to lead you, to guide us to do so, to walk in a manner worthy. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. I can't get lost in all of the stuff that's here. I've got to keep moving on. or we'll be here till tomorrow, but you guys capture the point. Now look at verse 17, chapter 4. Look at verse 17, chapter 4. This is connecting to what we're calling upon God to fulfill our calling. We want to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which has been called. Look at verse 17, chapter 4. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. Let's stop there. Here's another instruction to walk in a manner worthy. Do you ask God each day? Do you go to God and pray, hey, will you help me not walk like the loser? Like the loser. Wow. Deal with me, Lord. It's not what I meant to say. The lost, okay? Wow, I'm in trouble, right? Do you ask God that you won't walk like lost people today? Guess what? You do. Face it. Everyone in this room will walk like a lost person today. Did you ask God to help you not do it? Because if you don't ask him to help him do it, I guarantee you, you're doing it. Because you can't do it on your own. You're going to have just like the word that slipped out, that was probably if some God helped me with that. Because your mind and your heart will go to places that you don't need to go to without the Lord. So are you calling upon God that you will not walk like those that don't know you in the futility of their mind? Look at chapter 5, verse 8. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. This is what Paul is praying. This is the depth of what he's going to. Chapter 5, verse 8 of Ephesians. For you were formerly darkness, I was, and so were you. Some of us more, some of us less, but that's what we are, apart from salvation. But now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Do you ask him to walk as children of light? To illuminate the truth of the gospel, the truth of Christ in the life, and say, this is what it looks like to have the transforming salvation that comes from Christ. It looks like this. It looks like confession, repentance, asking for forgiveness. It looks like dealing with your heart, dealing with your mind. It looks like loving people that are hard to love. It looks like laying your life down for other people. This is what it looks like. Because this is what it is. And I'm asking God for me to help me live it every day. Is that what you pray? This is Paul's prayer. Look at verse 15 and 16 of chapter 5. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as wise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Do you pray? Do you ask to walk wise? Look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 10. Here's another one in chapter 2, verse 10. For we are in his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Do you know your new life in Christ, where you're the workmanship of God, crafted by the power of God in Christ Jesus for good works? You're a new creation, which God prepared beforehand so that you'd walk in them. You know God called you to walk in things in your calling? All kinds of things. You see, to this end, you are to call upon God to make you worthy of your calling. Because that's where you need to go. Next, from the back of your outline, turn it over. From the back of your outline, Paul prays to this end that God would fulfill your Christ-like desires. That's what it says in the text. Let me get back to the text. It says this. We'll count you worthy of your calling, fulfill every desire. Okay, now let me help you with this. Fulfill every Christ-like desire you have. You have fleshly desires, selfish desires, earthly desires. He's not talking about any of those. He's not talking about your wants and what you want and what you want and what you need and what you want and what you want. He's talking about the desire that was placed in you in your salvation that would be Christ-like desires that you would live for the Lord. He's talking about that one and that one alone. That's the one he's talking about. Christ didn't die on a cross to fulfill my fleshly, selfishly, or earthly desires. Never. Never. He died to give me new desires and new life and then help me live them. Amen? Right? I'm sorry, this kind of hammers what some things are taught out there about who God is and why he came. He's speaking of godly, Christ-like desires, the ones that are pleasing to God, Philippians 2:13, the ones that are pleasing in his sight, Matthew 11:26. Psalm 19:14 is a good representative of it, of Christ-like desires, when David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. God, would you fulfill that Christ-like desire in me? So Paul calls upon God to fulfill your Christ-like desires, and he says, for goodness. Write this down, that goodness there. That's Christ's goodness. That's Christ-like goodness. That's not American goodness. That's not any fleshly goodness. That's not what we would determine in our culture as good or what we would say is good. It's about what God says is Christ-like goodness. That's what he's saying. Call upon God to fulfill your Christ-like desires for goodness. So the goodness is God, the Lord's goodness, the fruit of the Spirit goodness, Galatians 5:22. Romans 15, 14, Paul says this, he is convinced that true Christians are full of goodness in their new life in Christ. You are. You're full of the Lord in the new life. It's his goodness. Don't let the world try to tell me what that goodness is. I want the word of God and God alone to tell us what this goodness is that he's called me to fulfill that desire, me living the goodness of God. Psalm 107:9 says that the Lord has satisfied the thirsty soul. He certainly has. And the hungry soul, he certainly has filled with what is good. He filled it with the new life in Christ. Look back at Ephesians 5 with me again. Turn back to Ephesians 5 with me. And just kind of filling this out here. And what it looks like for goodness. Ephesians 5, verse 8, 9, and 10. Look at it with me. I already read to you, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness. The fruit of the light is Christ-likeness, isn't it? Amen? Is it something else? It's God's goodness, right? It's Christ-like goodness and righteousness, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Are you praying about that? That's what Paul is saying. Paul calls us to call upon God to fulfill our life. Secondly, to fill the works of faith, back in our text. That's what he says. Every desire for goodness and the work of faith. Now, we talked about work of faith a lot. I've talked about works of faith all the time. You know, when we were in 1 Thessalonians, turn your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. But we did a whole section there. I did a whole message on faith that works or works of faith. And I've brought that in many of the messages. So this should be just kind of reminding you what he's talking about of fulfilling the works of faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and beginning of verse 3, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith. So he's praying, I got to mind your work of faith. I got to mind, I'm thinking about how this work of faith, how it's happening in your life, how God is at work in your life, how it's coming out of your life, and I'm praying about it, work of faith. And so let me give you just a little bit what a work of faith is. It's a faith that produces Christ-like works. That's what he's talking about. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. Do you know that's a work of faith? That you have faith in the Lord and what works come out of it? You start to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ and the way he lives, and you start imitating the Lord Jesus Christ church and the way they choose to live by the word of God. That's what you start imitating that. Look at verse 7. You became examples to other believers in Christ. That is a work of faith, or a faith that brings forth works. You start being examples to others. Think about the marriages. Think about the people in your life. Their marriage is an example, or their friendships an example, or their evangelism, or their whatever it might be. You see them as examples. See, that's a work of faith that God has been doing in their life. I probably guess that they've been asking God to help them in that part of their life. And so they became an example to somebody else. Look at verse 8, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia or Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth. So here's the work of faith. Your faith goes forth. You start, the word of the Lord starts coming out of your mouth. And you start talking about it with other people about this is the way life is. This is what God says. This is what goes on. See, this is the work of faith. Yeah, let's pray, ask God to fulfill the work of faith in our life. So these things start happening, and I'm just lightly touching on them. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. Let me read that to you. Here's a couple of more. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things they've not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for salvation of his household, by which he commanded the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. We could read all of chapter 11. They did all of this because God instructed them to. It's the word of God. They obeyed God's word. It's a work of faith. And get this, the Apostle Paul called upon God to fulfill their Christ-like desires for goodness and works of faith with power. God, you do this by your divine power. God, you make me the godly husband you called me to be by divine power. You think he'll just ignore you? Get ready. by divine power, he'll deal with life with you, and he'll bring things into your life, and he'll bring things into your soul, and bring things into your mind, and he'll bring things to you to change you, to grow you, to shape you into who he called you to be. Amen? Come on, you guys, amen? Anybody experienced that in their life, or are you just like, nah, I'm not really asking to work in my life and fulfill the calling he has in my life? This is incredible what Paul prays here. What kind of power? Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 power. The surpassing greatness of his power toward who believed. The working of his strength of his might, like when God brought about in Christ, when God raised him from the dead. That kind of power. You see why Paul prays this? That kind of power. The divine power of God that Ephesians 3, 20 says that works within me. That's incredible. Is that incredible? The divine power of God that works within you. What a prayer for us to pray. Fill my calling. Bring about all your power to fulfill the calling in my life. Lord, look at verse 12. Back to 2 Thessalonians. We'll close with this. There's a so that in the text. I preach one verse. This is God's word in one verse and what he said to us today. And then he said so that. Greek language, the grammar that God chose, he said, here, I want you to understand, so that this happens, so that you know this, so that this, so that. There's a purpose clause in the statement. In the Word of God, there's a purpose, a God divine powered purpose. This is what it says. Look at verse 12. So that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a so that. Did you get that? Simply so that you will glorify the name of Christ today and every day. That you will glorify the name. Let me explain that to you, the Lord. The name meaning the saving nature and character, the reality of Christ in you and you in him now in your life today. Back to verse 10, so that he will be glorified in the saints when he comes that day. That's your calling if you're a believer or a true believer in Christ, and it's according to the grace of God. Nobody deserves this. Nobody earned this purpose in life. God gave it to us and equipped us to live it by grace, and we're to call upon him for him to bring it about in our life, and that's what Paul prays. Isn't that incredible? This is true. This is what it is. This is what Paul is calling them to, and we've went through a lot of messages just how these Christians and how they've been being faithful and dealing with things. And they're going to go through a lot more. Next Saturday is our marriage conference. If you don't have a piece of paper and a pencil, you should get one out right now. I want you to write down a prayer. Really, couples, I do. I want you to write something down today. You should write something down every time you come to the church and take notes, listen to the Word of God. You should write something down. You should write the things down that God is saying. Who remembers 20 minutes after here if you don't have a note? I don't. I got a whole book of notes. I got to write it down. You might want to write this down, couples. What would happen if each day you prayed with your spouse this prayer? To this end we pray, Lord, for flourishing faith, for growing love, for persevering hope and all faithfulness to endure living for Christ no matter the challenge, Lord, no matter what. Let me read it again. What would happen each day is as a couple, you pray together with your spouse, to this end we pray, Lord, for flourishing faith, for growing love, for persevering hope and a faithfulness to endure living for Christ no matter the challenge. And we call upon you, Lord, to fulfill our calling. We call upon you, Lord, to fulfill our calling, to walk worthy of your salvation. Lord, fulfill our godly desire for Christ-like goodness. Lord, fulfill our godly desire for works of faith with divine power, so that we will glorify the character of Christ in our lives. What do you think God would do? If you mean it. If you really mean it, you want to pray with the Word of God and the prayer that Paul said he prays and that he calls us to pray, and you went before the Lord in your marriage and you said, you know what, we're going to ask this from the Lord. Husbands, I would encourage you to lead in this and mean it. And you said, Lord, to this end we pray, that our faith would flourish, we grow in love, we persevere in hope, with faithfulness to endure living for Christ, no matter the challenge we face in life. That's what we want. This is what you want. We call upon you, Lord, to fulfill our calling, so we would walk in a manner worthy of your salvation, to fulfill our God, our desires to do goodness and the works of faith in this life, so that you would, and your character would be glorified. What do you think happened? What do you think happened if you prayed that for your kids and prayed it with them? How about other people? How about your lost people that you pray for? How about if you prayed it for this church family? You think the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, knew what to write down and what to pray in one verse? We need to thank the Lord for that God has called us to come to him with our lives, with the things that we're challenged with the things that we have, and that we can come and say, we're going to pray to this end. We're going to ask our God to this end. He'll always get us to the end, won't he? Father, we come before you with a heart of gratitude and thankfulness for just the word of God to us this morning, and for even the conviction of we fall short. That's okay. Not okay in the sense that we can excuse it, but okay, then that conviction comes from when we listen to the word of God, and your truth shows us where we're at, what we're doing, and that you have a better plan and a greater way. And even when they were flourishing, they were doing pretty good, and Paul prays this, because we don't rest on our laurels and we don't evaluate, we're doing pretty well. So that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in me today. Thank you that he can be. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed for today.